Welcome back. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I've discovered, Luke, one of the occupational hazards of this new show is that, you know, when you have breakfast at 5 a.m., as I do, and then you're on from 8 to 11, by 10 o'clock, I can't not think about lunch. And we've already talked about, you know, deep dish pizza. We've talked about cheese curds. We talked about, you know, the Schwann's trucks. Actually, you know what? We didn't talk about that on air. We were talking with our guest, Professor Michael Wagner, who's originally from Southwest Minnesota, the home of Schwann's and the ubiquitous Schwann's trucks that used to be everywhere and aren't as much to a degree. Although you're saying down there in Sunny Pea, you'll still see Schwann's trucks.
Yeah, a couple times a week they come through the neighborhood. It's been a little bit less. The subdivision's getting redone with the roads right now, so a little less lately. But definitely throughout the few months that we've been living in Sun Prairie, I see with fair regularity the Schwann's truck driving around.
But I wonder if I'm not seeing it much anymore, if that really is a Schwann's truck, or if that's, you know, kind of a Cheech and Chong, you know, ice cream truck situation that's going on.
I'll have
there.
To get a closer look then, because
why don't you do some research on that?
I'll go and find out. I love the little cheese filled pretzel bites that they had. So if I do my research and I find out accordingly, you'll hear that I found some of the cheese filled pretzels then.
My thing, our thing from Schwann's, which was very surprising, but our favorite thing there was actually the pot roast. It was frozen, you know, and vacuum bagged, but you know, between the roast and the gravy that came with it, you put that frozen lump in your crock pot, and you know, when you come home from work, oh man, that was some good stuff. I do kind of miss that, because we have not seen Schwann's trucks around Lake Wasota here in, I'd have to say, 8 years. So here I am thinking about lunch, you know, and it's not going to be.
I'm not thinking about lunch yet, but it's the cheese curds are definitely in my brain, and I don't know if I can wait until the local farmer's market tomorrow to go find some, so I might have to go on a little scouting excursion after we wrap up today's show.
Well, I kind of wonder, though. I mean, you get the fresh ones at the farmer's market on Saturdays, but, you know, by and large, when you're getting them at, you know, grocery stores, convenience stores, and things like that, they're not necessarily still squeaky fresh. And so then the question becomes, do you then get them if you don't know that they're, you know, a day old or less?
Yeah, that's true. The grocery store is almost, you're taking a risk. But the beautiful thing, like you just said, with Madison being number one in livability's rankings, it's because there's a ton of farmers markets. Not just the Dane County's farmers market on Saturdays is what Capitol Square is known for. But there are local neighborhood farmers markets pretty much every single day out of the week across town. So you can find fresh, squeaky cheese curds almost at any day of the week in Madison if you know where to go look.
I've mentioned that Christina Laurie, our reporter at Up North News, had worked for Channel 3 in Madison, and she loves the Dane County Farmers Market and has done a lot of stories about them, and that there are a lot of stories to be told about the various merchants, because they're not all, you know, Madison based or even Dane County based. Some folks drive hours in basically the middle of the night to come set up at that farmer's market and others. And it's one of those things that I've given her the green light to do more stories about, you know, some of these rural farm entrepreneurs who are basically making their own market, going to farmers markets in Eau Claire and La Crosse and Madison and elsewhere. So I hope we get to talk more about that. But the story that I want to share right now that you're actually hearing about first, we have not yet posted it at upnorthnewswi.com. It has not yet been in our newsletter. It has not yet been on social media, but I finally finished the video version of the report 2 days ago and finished editing the print version last night. So it's finally going to get posted. The working headline is How Little Boulder Junction Went Big on Bringing Broadband to Town. And this was a story that was reported on by freelance reporter Evan J. Pretzer up in the Wausau area. I asked him to go to Boulder Junction and find out what was happening there. We'd seen a few local stories about how they were trying to increase their internet speed, which meant upgrading their entire infrastructure. Keep in mind, Boulder Junction's population is about 956. There's not even 1,000 people there. And yet, the residents there of this, you know, quiet little place up north were asked in a local survey by the Economic Development Committee, you know, what are the big issues in Boulder Junction? And by and large, it was about slow internet speed. You know, basically the internet went about as fast as the glaciers that carved out that area oh so long ago. The ones that Tom Tiffany, you know, thanks God for global warming on when they retreated. We talked to the library director up there, Sherry Sanderson, who would share how families would be screaming at each other to get off the internet. You know, how many browser tabs do you have open? What are you downloading? Dina Casso is the executive director of the local Chamber of Commerce. And she said there was a predictable daily contraction of internet bandwidth at about 5 o'clock. She said everybody would be checking their phones and that, you know, they could not get things done in the office because it was either, you know, adults or kids doing homework. And so basically they were finding out that, you know, DSL or digital subscriber line speeds weren't enough. They weren't getting it done. And Boulder Junction had a DSL infrastructure in part thanks to federal funding that tried to grow, you know, internet outreach into rural parts of America over the years. But that was just no longer enough. I mean, we're downloading movies and games and all kinds of things now, not just, you know, things one page at a time. And so you had a case where in Wisconsin, well, let me put it this way, in the nation, 4.5% of Americans don't have access to even one fixed broadband service. 4.4% in the United States. In Wisconsin, that number was 6.8%. So we're above average in the people lacking one good broadband connection. So city leaders, community and civic leaders decided they were tired of that and started to do their homework to find out, you know, how much would it cost to upgrade to broadband speeds? How much could they afford? Hint, not much. It's a small town. But what other forms of support were out there? And now keep in mind, this is pre-COVID when they're looking into this and discovering that, again, politicians in many ways bipartisan, but not always, were increasing the pots of money that were available to help expand high-speed internet. Because more people, politicians and others, were realizing that high-speed internet today is what interstate highways used to be, what railroads used to be back in the day. If you did not have these things, your community was not going to grow. And so a lot of communities would complain about slow internet speeds, but local officials in Boulder Junction got to work. They worked out a plan. They said the key to their plan was frequent updates to the public in electors meetings and in other ways, so that when there was finally an electors vote on whether to move forward, the vote was overwhelmingly in favor of moving forward. So the project has cost about $8 million so far. About $3 million of that has come in from the community, which voted to, you know, have its own taxes raised for this. But then another nearly $4 million has come from the administration of Governor Tony Evers. And then a private partner, CenturyLink, has given about $1 million as well. And then, of course, you had the federal funding. So this is all to say that, you know, a lot of people love to talk about how, you know, government doesn't work. You know, government can't work. You talk to the people there, like Dennis Oxtick of the Economic Development and Broadband Committee, and he said, don't say that up here. Government works. Government worked up here in bringing the people together and then in coupling that with other levels of government that, you know, kicked in as well, because no small town can do a big project like this on its own. And this is frankly, you know, the key to growing the rural economy in Wisconsin and across the country. So the Evers administration has already given out more than $225 million statewide for expansion grants. President Biden put in a request for $100 billion nationwide for broadband expansion as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. Congressional Republicans wouldn't go that far. So in order to get their votes, Biden had to cut that number down to $65 billion. It's still a good chunk of change, but again, not as ambitious as he would have liked. And of that $65 billion, in the bipartisan infrastructure law. About 100 million more is going to come to Wisconsin in order to grow high-speed coverage around the state. But again, this doesn't happen automatically. Just because a pot of money is made available doesn't mean it's coming to you. Good things come to those who do the homework. And in Boulder Junction, they did the homework. Then COVID hit, and they came to appreciate even more what a good decision that they made for reasons like, of course, education, as kids had to stay home, telemedicine, and of course, working from home, which only exploded. So according to the story that Evan Pretzer put together for us that we're posting later today, about half the community will have broadband this summer, and the rest should be completely wired by the end of this year. Now, that's not every place, because again, there's a lot of land that has to be trenched, you know, to lay these lines. Not everybody, wants that, but the vast majority of the town is going to be wired now for high-speed broadband internet because they did their work. 38 miles of line is being laid to serve about 1,200 units. So from a business standpoint, again, Dina Casso from the Chamber of Commerce said that it has certainly helped from a business standpoint. It has made it easier to market and promote the town, whether that's business owners, young families moving in, remote workers, and also Sherry Sanderson, the library director, noted an increase in people coming up and starting to work out of their vacation home or their parents' home because more people can be flexible on where they are when they do their work. I mean, I'm sitting here in a home office on Lake Wissota, you know, rather than in a radio studio someplace because we can do that thanks to broadband. And so as Bill Nemeth of the Broadband Committee in Boulder Junction said in wrapping things up, there are very few truly bipartisan issues today, and that's unfortunate, but broadband is one of them. And it seems, he says, that so many electors and constituents are on board, elected officials see that, and then they get on board. And so the funding needs to keep coming in because, he says, these projects in rural America, in rural Wisconsin, will not get done unless there's public funding. So we thought that it was a great example of how government works. There's a lot to be said about government accountability, about when things go wrong, when politicians don't keep their promises. We certainly covered the horse race of the bipartisan infrastructure law and the give and take of the American Rescue Plan and now the Inflation Reduction Act. But in the end, when these policies are finally done and implemented, again, it takes a while to see it, but as you can see in Little Boulder Junction, some big things are now happening with improved speed, where they're actually showing an increase in people moving to town and having to make sure they have enough affordable housing stock for it. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitler. We'll take a break. More after this.